In today's passage, the sheep must listen only to the voice of the shepherd and follow him. Especially this last day, so we must heed and follow three important voices of the shepherd, which I will share with you. Number one, we must believe and act upon the word. We will reap what you sow. Number two, even in the midst of the persecutions, we must always rejoice and give thanks. Three, since the Lord's coming is near, we must stay awake and prepare our all well. Before the delivering the message, let me briefly share the news of the 15th anniversary of the Changnai Manmin Church, which took place this March. At the anniversary service, Pastor Lee Mi-young and the workers from the Canaan, the mission came, and our congregation received abundant blessings. Especially Pastor Lee Mi-young smiled warmly, embraced and held the hands of the saints from the moment she arrived at the airport. Although language was a barrier, these expressions of love made the congregation feel as if they were meeting the senior pastor, filling them with joy. Furthermore, the workers from the Canaan missions also came giving great strength to the congregation. They carefully prepared the gifts of the keychains and the chocolates, and when the congregation saw the Thai words, "Let us go together to New Jerusalem," written on the wrapping, they were deeply moved. Because the gift carried the genuine sincerity, the saints truly felt that love. After that event, there was a testimony session by the Canaan workers on the church's outdoor stage, and the young sisters beyond the marriageable age received much grace. One senior deaconess shared a memorable testimony. Though he never married and lived only between a home, workplace, and the church, dedicating herself solely to God's kingdom, she confessed with joy that she had no regrets and lived a fulfilling, precious life. She looked like that they were in their late 30s, but in reality, they were in their 50s. Which surprised everyone. The youth thought their radiant happiness made them look younger and began to envision their own future through them. Since Christians make up less than 1% of the Thailand's populations, it's difficult to find a believing young man, and marrying unbelievers often leads to leaving the church. With high divorce rates, many youth struggle with the conflicts that, through the testimonies of the Canaan's workers, they were inspired to live a life of the faith and the dedication, gaining comfort and the hope. At the anniversary celebration, about the 60 pastors and the workers from the 22 Manmin branch churches in the Thailand, Myanmar, and Laos attended. Especially in the Myanmar, where civil war makes the travel unsafe and the public transportation scarce, some attendees travel for 1 or 2 days on unpaid roads by the motorcycle. Thankfully, through the chairman's prayers, a border crossing was smooth and everyone was kept safe throughout their journey. Myanmar was one of the countries with the highest ratios of monks to populations, with 88% of the people being Buddhist. Moreover, it's among the poorest nations suffering from the ongoing civil war under the control of the socialist system. Knowing that the difficult circumstances of the local pastors caring for believers wanders like a sheep without a shepherd, yet even in a brief encounters with the lecture, they listened with a deep longing, especially when the shepherd's daughter came. Their yearning grew stronger because of their longing for the shepherd himself. Currently, the main pastors of the branch churches attend the Daniel prayer meeting online every day, having received much of the senior pastors of teaching through the previous seminars. They hold a deep longing for her and show great interest in use of the main churches senior pastor. Above all, pastors and the workers who attended an anniversary testified with gratitude that they experienced the healing works and were deeply moved by the Spirit-filled worship. And to carry forward this fever, special workers retreat was held in the mid May. Despite the hot season, the retreat was blessed with cool weather and the rainbows appeared daily, allowing everyone to deeply feel the Father's love. In particular, the extraordinary rainbow never seen before appeared, a vivid oval rainbow encircling the sun. But through the retreat, the young men were specially awakened and led the worship atmosphere, making a fervent overall. During the sermon, their loud crowds, amen, surprised everyone. Nowadays, prayer times resemble the revival meetings with people kneeling and lifting their hands high in prayer. During the retreat, McDonald's hamburgers set were bought for the students and the youth, and some said that it was their first time eating such a meal at the restaurant, which was surprising. This reflects how many parents are too busy earning a living for care for their children, and many come from broken families, making families outings rare. Missionaries often have to play the role of the parents in this land, and through this retreat, the youth were able to feel that love more deeply. Thankfully, after the workers' retreat, the following week, the Chiangmai Mamin Church offered a special song at the main church. On the day of the special song, a deaconess from the Canaan mission group, who had been blessed, anonymously offered a donated 2 pairs of the ballet shoes for each of the 6 members of the worship team. The worship team's managers was astonished because they had the long needed worship shoes, but felt too embarrassed to ask, so they had only prayed. I hadn't even realized that worship shoes were needed, so I felt sorry. At the same time, I thought this process of the praying and the receiving the answer was essential for faith growth. Once again, I sincerely thank the deaconesses who made the offerings. Now, let us move into the main message. The first voice of the shepherd is this. Galatians chapter 6, 7 says, "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows." The emeritus pastor lived by this world, always sowing generously. He refrained from enjoying what he could have, saving and sacrificing to serve and help souls. Even knowing that some recipients might betray and leave, he still gave. He sowed abundantly for world missions, reaping the great fruits in the overseas crusades, and through powerful prayers, countless healing took place. We ourselves are living testimonies of that power. Even today, by the righteousness established by the emeritus pastor, God's power continues to manifest through the senior pastor and other pastor, such as Pastor Lee Mi-kyung and Lee Mi-young, for which we are deeply grateful. The Wednesday testimony sermon and the deaconess's zeal for evangelism have been deeply moving and challenging. I was deeply moved by the passion for evangelism, especially during the testimony sermons by the senior deaconesses. Looking back at myself, whose passion for evangelism has cooled considerably, I felt ashamed, and I was greatly challenged by the world. Though lacking, I too have tried to follow the emeritus pastor's example, serving the congregation both spiritually and physically. At times when those I helped betrayed me, or when saints and the workers I loved left for money or worldly desire, my heart was deeply hurt. How can anyone love money more than the kingdom of God? From a human perspective, I could not understand it, but whenever that crossed my mind, I thought of the shepherd. My heart ached as I wondered how the shepherd had endured so many betrayals and pains over such a long period of time. Yet remembering how the shepherd endured the countless betrayals and the pains. Indeed, as the world is saying, a man reaps what he sows. It was no coincidence that though I was born and raised in the temple, I came to accept the Lord in high school. It was possible because someone saw the prayers. In middle school, strangely, I found myself surrounded by the friends who attended the church. One day I was dragged to the church against my will, but I ran away before entering the sanctuary. Yet the friends never gave up and kept praying for me. Because of those prayers, being randomly assigned to the Christian high school was no coincidence. Through mandatory worship services there, I eventually accepted the Lord, all thanks to someone's sowing in prayer. We cannot overstate in the importance of the intercessory prayer. Intercession saves souls. As the son of the Buddhist monk became the head of the evangelism at church, joined Manmin, and is now ministering in the Buddhist nation, all of this was possible because of someone's prayers. I believe it's because of the shepherd's countless years of the tearful prayers for world mission that I now stand here as a missionary. Before meeting our emeritus pastor shepherd, I often clashed with my parents due to self-righteousness. But after learning from the example of the goodness and the love, I served my parents with love and achieved peace in my family. Now my family says I seems our household is blessed because we believe in the Jesus. While other relatives face sickness and misfortune, my children grow healthy and upright and drawing admiration. All this blessing came because we lived according to the shepherd's teaching. Because he was the example of the spiritually sowing and the reaping. Changlai Manmin Church also saw the daily prayer through the Daniel prayer meeting. Yet being located among the shops and the housing complexes, we had to be careful not to disturb the neighbors. During COVID-19, we closed doors, drew curtains, lowered the sounds, and prayed honestly from the heart. So even during the Daniel prayer meeting, we had to keep the doors tightly closed, the curtains drawn, and the speaker volumes turned down as low as possible, as if there were no gathering at all. I vividly remember the heartbreaking situation where we could open our mouth wide but could not raise our voices. Yet deep in the heart, we struggled and cried out in prayer. Also, when parking, instead of parking in front of the church, we would park park our motorcycles far away and sneak into the church on foot. Once during the Friday night service, our neighbors reported us. Just minutes before officials arrived, I felt led to turn off the microphone, and because the church was quiet, we avoided the trouble. Through such experiences, the saints longed for the new sanctuary where we could freely worship and pray. What seems impossible, building a new church, began to process smoothly by God's grace. The new church site was sought in the place slightly outside of the city where no residents lived nearby, and the good location appeared in the fields away from the village. So after many twists and turns, the land was purchased immediately. However, since this is a Buddhist nation, there was a concern that building a church could provoke the hostility and the negative public opinions, so the entire process was carried out secretly. The construction permit was obtained very quickly, and the church was built decisively while drawing the little attention from residents. There were many episodes during the construction. In our country, foreigners can buy land or building, but in Thailand, foreigners cannot purchase land or build under their own names. Moreover, seeing foreigners involved in the church construction could cause a misunderstanding. So, although I wanted to frequently check and supervise the building process, I could not go often. When I did go, I wore sunglasses and pulled my head low to enter secretly or visited at night to supervise through the staff. Building the church made me deeply realize again that the life of a missionary is truly that of the foreigners and the pilgrim, like Abraham leaving his father's house for the promised land. But once the church was completed, outsiders began building houses around it, perhaps thinking the area was good to live in since the land was cheap and a fine church building had been established. So our church workers, with the holy burden that worldly people should not settle right next to the church, resolved to move into the land beside the church. Some workers, even in the difficult circumstances, took out the loan to build houses next to the church, striving in a various way to protect it. As a result, now all the land right next to the church has been filled with the homes of our members. When more workers moved near the church, it brought a great spiritual benefit. They could stop by for morning prayer before work, which revived the morning prayer meetings, and the frequent visit naturally increased the service time. Living close together also gave members more time for fellowship, making life like that one of the family with many blessings. The shepherd always gave and gave again, living a life of the complete self-giving, even to his last breath for souls. Though lacking, I too followed his example, not considering what I had as a mind about sowing for God's kingdom and giving to the saints. As a result, saints who were once like children have grown, and now they also sow into my life in the various way. When I receive the gifts like snacks for fruit, I usually share them immediately with others. If there is not enough, I first give to those whose faces are not bright or who need encouragement. Then the saints are filled with joy from the receiving, and I am happy to give. They treasure it as a received from the servant of the Lord, often taking photos and sending back the confessions of the gratitude. Sometimes even when he gave such a small candy, they took a photo of it and send it back with a thanks. Though I sometimes feel impressed for giving something so small, spiritually it is good training, so I also express a gratitude and reply with a thanks. When they express a gratitude even for such a small gift, it touches my heart as a giver. This makes me want to give even greater gifts next time. As we exchange and confess gratitude, love grows like a snowball. If I feel this way, how much more will the Father God, who is love itself, desire to give a greater blessing to His thankful children? Beloved saints, what is sown never disappears. It will surely be reaped. Above all, it's accumulated with a compound interest in heaven's bank, making sowing into the God's kingdom a tremendous blessing. And expressing gratitude is also a form of the sowing. And let us also frequently express our thanks to Father God, and we will surely receive the blessing. And at this moment, let us express our gratitude together. Father God, thank you. And to follow the flow of the main church, Chiang Mai Maimin Church participates in a Wednesday service, a Friday and all-night service, a Sunday worship, and the Daniel prayer meeting through the live broadcast or recorded videos, especially during the Friday night service of the Maimin magazine. The saints often see the news of the overseas branch church's anniversary service and the main church's active world missions, which is awakened them to evangelism. Now a culture of the volunteer evangelism has formed, whether after Sunday worship or whenever time allows. Truly, what we see and hear is very important. Also, after seeing the hairdresser mission of the main church of the Memmi magazine, some saints were inspired and voluntarily organized their own hairdresser mission. They mainly served during the home visit, especially since most local residents live paycheck to paycheck, making their living expenses very tight. So they usually look for the workplaces close to home with a little public transportation. They mostly travel by motorcycle, even trying to save a fuel cost. Thus, when our church and volunteers visit, they are warmly welcome. However, none of our hairdresser missions members had a formal haircut training. Their only experience was cutting their husband's hair at home, so we encouraged them to learn diligently, and now through the practice of their skills, have greatly improved. Nowadays, the residents' response has become very positive, and the church's image has improved as well. I am thankful to the for all workers, especially the. As a major drug tracking route, drugs are cheap and easily accessible, causing many youth to be exposed early and leading to the numerous social problems and incidents. Once workers' husband, those who are free from drugs, once could not live normally due to the after effect of the addictions, he would walk around at night unclothed, neglect the bathing, and the mother muttered to himself under hallucinations. His condition was very severe, but his wife and the fellow workers never gave up, sowing even the special prayers, and now he attended Sunday service faithfully. The more he attended worship, the more his symptoms improved, and now he smiles with a once hardened face, even enjoying the Sunday evening service fully. This family of the three lives in a single room home with only a bathroom. For the daughter, living long in such a cramped space without the privacy must be difficult, yet she endures patiently while caring for her father. Even in such a hardship, she faithfully served as a part of the church worship team and as a president of the students group. She attends various service and the Daniel prayer meeting, and they even help the clean church bathrooms on Sundays and prepare food on Sundays. There's no need to blame to environment. How many could be in worse condition than this daughter? Yet she grows straight and cheerful without the strain, showing how blessed is so life by faith. And now the daughter confessed that, as I worship in church, I felt indescribable happiness. After 2 weeks, I became certain that God is alive. I was counseled that true believers should not worship idols and encouraged to listen to the sermon, the way of the cross. Through it, I realized that God's grace loves more deeply and my faith grew stronger. The next morning, something amazing happened. The tears that had flowed for 8 to 9 months stopped instantly, and the constant discharge disappeared. My eyes were restored to clean normal state. Before, I had to wipe the tears constantly using the many tissues each month, but now I no longer need to. I also had a thyroid tumor, a hard lump in my neck with occasional pain. But now the lump is no longer hard, and the pain has completely disappeared. Never in my life had I experienced such joy and happiness. Now I want to come to church every day because each visit brings me great joy and happiness. Through the life-giving word of the senior pastor, we are being transformed. Many saints are healed and receive the answers through the healing meeting led by the senior pastor. We sincerely thank her again for her honest prayers. Every Saturday, the students group faithfully cleans the church bathrooms without missing a single week or year. Though he surely wished to spend the Saturdays with the friends, they not only clean but also help the prepare Sunday meals. How admirable they are. And every Saturday, the only child who's joined the students group in the cleaning is 4 years old, Hannah. She even helped to clean the bathroom and sweep the sanctuary. Yet seeing and learning to serve the church from such a young age is a truly blessing. On Sundays, I noticed that many young people spend time at home after evening service, consuming the worldly things like YouTube, so I thought we should increase the time they spend at church. After evening service, each mission group cleans and visit the members. Then we create the events under the motto, Sunday All Day at Church. For example, we held a praise music video making event to prepare they practiced at church on the Sunday evenings and gathered daily after their prayer meeting during the week. The team that sang songs at the main church last May was the one that won first prize. Usually the first prize team prepares an encore song as well.
This time is preparing for next performance. And since the young workers' homes are right next to the church, they take the turns opening their home to cook dinner together and then hold the district worship, creating the family-like atmosphere. All programs are designed so that young people feel more joy and happiness spending time with brothers and sisters in faith at church. Spiritually, to prevent laziness, we are expanding the personal prayer time through the Going to New Jerusalem campaign and the increasing time spent listening to sermon. Especially since the young people easily become the idol without goals, we bring them into the settling where they can engage in a healthy competition. As a shepherd empathizes, such a competition is a good stimulus that keeps us awake and alert. For over 8 years, we've continued the New Jerusalem campaign, and at times we fell into the routine, wondering if we should keep going. Yet by renewing the scoring criteria, we've continued to give a stimulation and a challenge to saints, especially since young people live in the age where smartphone easily expose them to worldly things. This campaign helps them stay spiritually awake. Some saints rejoice that they can listen more for 5 sermons a day on their phone, and they hear more of the world. The praise flows naturally at their workplaces. Another saint testified that stopping by the church at the pray before work makes their day begin with a blessing. And even after Daniel prayer meetings, they offered additional special prayers to gain much special benefits. Every 2 months, words are given by the mission groups, which requires a significant financial spending. Events also need competitions to be engaging, which add to the cost. Yet, knowing the spiritual law of the sowing and the reaping, the joy of the sowing is greater, and we are assured that we will reap accordingly. Secondly, we must always rejoice and give thanks to even persecution. Matthew chapter 5, 10 to 12 says, Blessed are those who are persecuted because of the righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. As the world teaches, we must rejoice even when persecuted for righteousness. Because persecutions for righteousness sanctifies us, and the persecutions actually spread the gospel. After Stephen martyrdom, Christians fled Jerusalem. Persecutions and scattered into Judah and Samaria. This scattering became the decisive the turning point for the gospel of the spread beyond Jerusalem and played a vital role in the church growth. Acts chapter 8 in 4 says, on the that day of the great persecutions broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all expectant apostles were scattered throughout Judah and Samaria. Those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. In the early church era, Rome's severe persecutions of the Christian, ironically, became the catalyst for the gospel of the spread in the very heart of the world of Rome itself. Persecutions also brought the great spiritual benefits. The catacomb, the originally underground, the tomb where the Christians hid from the emperor, the narrows of persecutions, became the places of the sanctification where the believers could commune deeply with God away from the world. This is also why the emeritus pastor established the Gethsemane prayer place separated from the world to focus solely on prayer. In the 18th century, John Wesley, who proclaimed the gospel of the holiness, faced many persecutions and even death threats, yet he boldly continued to preach the gospel. Holiness. As a result, he brought about the massive spiritual awakening that influenced not only the British but also America. Dwight Moody, the great 19th century American evangelist, grew especially by applying the Wesley's rules for the evangelism and the Christian living. Moody especially led the Students of Volunteer Movement, which inspired the young missionaries like Underwood and Appenzeller to come to Korea and begin mission work. In 19th century Korea, more than 10,000 murders emerged, and through the sacrifice of the missionaries like Robert J. Thomas and the first Protestant martyrs in Korea, the Bible was distributed and the churches were planted. The testimony of the young missionary Thomas, who was only 27, is profoundly moving. Thomas sailed near the Daedong River in the north of Korea for mission work. But the local soldiers set his ship on fire. Leaping from the burning ship with the Bible in his arm, Thomas was struck down by a man named Park Chang-won and murdered. Amazingly, Park Chang-won later accepted the Lord and became the elder of the Anju Church in the Pyongyang province. Among those who received the Bible, so Thomas scattered before his death was a man named Park Young-sik. Park took the Bible home and pasted it the pages on the wall of his room like a wallpaper. Thus, upon the waking in the morning, eating meals, or even turning in the bed, he constantly saw the wall before his eyes. Eventually, by continually reading the Bible on his wall, he accepted Jesus. Truly, God's word is living and active. Likewise, I accepted the Lord during the mandatory school worship in the high school because the world was alive and working. Therefore, reading the Bible and staying close to God's word is vitally important. Park Young-sik's house wallpapered with the Bible pages soon became the Noldarigol Church. And this Noldarigol Church later became Pyongyang's Jangdaehyun Church, the epicenter of the famous 1907 Pyongyang revival, where the Holy Spirit's work exploded. God's providence is truly mysterious and marvelous. Missionary Thomas became the grain of wheat through his martyrdom, and the price of his blood became the seedbed of the Korean Great Revival. After North Korea became the communist, countless Christians were martyred. during the Korean War, many fled persecutions in the north to South Korea, carrying with them in the underground the church tradition. This spread prayer movement, such as All Night and Dawn prayer, greatly influenced the evangelizations of the South Korea. Thirdly, since the Lord's coming is very near, we must stay awake and prepare our all well. And this let us examine the sign of the end of the world. The first sign of the end of the Middle Eastern war involving the Israel, resembling the prelude of Armageddon and the outbreak of the plague. Please refer to some words shown in the screen. Here in the latter years refers to the end of times, which is now, just as the mountains of Israel, long desolated, were restored, and the nation of Israel, absent for the 1,900 years, was re-established in 1948. And as the word says, gathered from the many nations, Jews scattered worldwide are returning to their homeland. Recently, tens of the thousands have returned to Israel due to the threat of the prolonged Russia-Ukraine dispute. In Western Europe, rising the anti-Semitic, the hate crimes, including the threat against the synagogues, are driving many Jews back to Israel, fulfilling biblically prophecy. Furthermore, Hamas in the Gaza and the Hezbollah in the Lebanon have formed as an anti-Israel axis of the resistance, attacking the Israel with Iran's full support. This seems like a prelude of the Armageddon war, making us truly feel that end of the near. Also, the pestilences and the scripture refers to a plague, and recently we see an outbreak of the MERS, SARS, Ebola, Mpox, Zika, Nipah's virus, and many others. Especially through the COVID-19 pandemic, we witnessed a million of the deaths of the worldwide. During the COVID-19 crisis a few years ago, we experienced the society strictly controlled, much like that might happen during the seven-year tribulation. At the highest of the pandemic, I entered Incheon Airport due to my father's sudden passing, and that I thought that during the tribulations, the society could be controlled like this. Before departing the Thailand, I need the government approval to board in the plane, submitting my father's death certificate and the negative COVID test. Upon arrival at the Incheon, I was tested again in a strictly controlled area. At the arrival hall, I felt the fear, seeing only people in a white protective suit. Movement was restricted to designated path, and even boarding the airport bus was tightly controlled. After the funeral, I was immediately quarantined for 7 days, confined to my room. I realized that during the tribulation, human freedom could be severely restricted for the reasons like disease outbreaks. Indeed, during the COVID-19, the churches could not worship freely and had to hold the service online under the government restriction. Likewise, under the Antichrist rules during the tribulations, the society will likely be strictly controlled for reasons such as plagues. Nowadays, frequent earthquakes and the rumors of the world feel like the previews of the 7 years of tribulation. This experience and the signs seems to be a Father God's urgent cry and a loving warning that we should not fall into the tribulation. We must live a faithful life so that not a single person falls into the 7 years tribulation. The second sign of the end of the appearance of the image of the beast. Please look at the Revelations chapter 13:15. The phrase gave breath to the image so that it could speak, remind us of today's AI. Modern AI can move the eyes according to emotions and judge the independently, recognize the human feelings, and appear to have a self-awareness. astonishingly similar to humans. Lucifer loves to imitate God's works. Just as God breathed life into the man, Lucifer seeks to give breath to the beast's image, making it appear human-like. Oh, wow, yes. We must stay spiritually awake and never rely on the AI for the faith counseling for spiritual matters. Instead, we must draw near to praying servant of God and remain awake through the fervent prayer. Evil spirits will gradually lead people to the trust AI's judgments, turning into the end idol to be worshipped. When creatures are worshipped more than the Creator, that becomes idolatry. If humans do not worship God, they inevitably ended up worshiping something else. Experts warn that AI may soon evolve and improve itself without humans' intervention, potentially surpassing the humans. If that happens, people may move beyond the trusting AI. So Revelation chapter 13, 16 to 18 says, He also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive the mark of their right hands or their on the foreheads. The number of the beast is 666. Today, Amazon stores use the palm vein scans for payment. Alipay has commercialized facial recognition payments, and the system already exists using the implanted chips in the hand for transactions. Elon Musk's Neuralink chips implanted in the brain gives us a glimpse of what receiving a mark on the hand or forehead might mean. The word marks in Greek is meaning to engrave. It refers to something permanent, like a brand making the slaves as their master's property. Currently, many nations, including Korea, are developing the cashless central bank digital currency, CBDCs, suggesting the future where spending is controlled by the state policy. This foreshadows what will happen during the tribulation. A cashless society means all transactions are digital and centrally controlled, potentially forming the foundation of the beast mark system. Already, cash use is disappearing worldwide. In Korea, it's hard to use cash on buses or taxis, and many stores are no longer accepted. Even in Thailand, the traditional markets now often use QR code payments. If this system falls into the Antichrist hands, Christians during the tribulations will have to flee to avoid receiving the mark, but even that will be difficult. Even if they hide in the caves deep in the mountains, advanced drones with sonar imagine can detect infrared energy from the bodies and objects, exposing those in hiding. Therefore, we must never, never under any circumstances fall into the seven-year tribulation. The third sign of the end of the time is the imminent construction of the Israel's third temple. Daniel chapter 9:20 says that he will confirm the covenants of many for 1:7. In the middle of the seven, he will put an end to sacrifice and offering, and at the temple, and it will set up the abominations that causes desolations. Second Thessalonians chapter 2:4 says he will oppose and he will exalt himself over of everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he set himself up in this, God's temple. Here he refers to the Antichrist who will broker a Middle East peace treaty and rise as a global leader appearing in the apostle of the peace. Israel, with Christ's help, will build the third temple and resume the sacrifices. But in the latter half of the tribulations, the Antichrist will forbid the sacrifice and demand the worship of himself in God's place. As Daniel prophesied, Israel has already completed the preparation for the third temple. signaling the stage of the just before the tribulation. The Temple Institute in Jerusalem, founded in 1987, aimed to rebuild the third temples and restore the ancient Jewish sacrificial practices. They have already prepared the temple vessels, menorahs, and the priestly garden, and the architecture's plan. DNA testing has identified the Levites who are now trained and including high priest in education. When the Antichrist leads a peace treaty and the third temple is completed, that will mark the beginning of the 7-year tribulation. Matthew chapter 24:14 says, "And the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony, all the nations, and then the end will come." Bible translations organizations aim to complete translations into all languages by the 2033. And within the internet and the smartphone, the gospel is rapidly reaching all nations, even in the Islamic the nations, often considered farthest from the gospel. It's now being actively preached, showing how near the end truly is. In the Bible, the Persia, where the Daniel and the Esther lived, is today's Iran. In Iran, thousands of the mosques have closed. And over the past 20 years, Christianity has grown at the world fastest rate of 20% annually. Since the 2020s, converts have surged with at least 1 million Christians, possibly up to the 2 million, so mostly in the underground, the house churches. They encounter the gospel through the internet and the satellites, and despite the persecutions and the severe punishment for conversions, Christians risk their lives together for worship. Across Iran, testimonies of the supernatural experiences have poured forth. Some saw the radiant figure in the white saying, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life." Others heard Jesus call their names in the dreams, or even heard the Bible verses that they had never known before. One underground church testified that more than half of its members met Jesus through the dreams or visions. In war-torn areas like Gaza and Lebanon, many Muslims have reported meeting Jesus in the dreams and converting to the Christianity. Even in Egypt, where 90% of the population is Muslim, conversions have surged. Around 3 million of Muslims have accepted the Lord despite the social isolation and the threat to their lives, showing a great revival in the Islamic nations. Because the end of the year and the time is short, God is working in the mysterious and the transcendent way. In interviews with Iranian Christians, they did not say they were waiting for the fall of the Islamic reason to worship freely, but instead confess, "Come, Lord Jesus," which deeply moved many. We too must have a faith hold enough to confess, "Come, Lord Jesus," in conclusions. The most important message today is that the Lord's coming is very near, so we must always stay awake and prepare our oil well. As 1 Peter chapter 4, 7 says, "The end of all things is near, therefore the alert and of the sovereign mind, so that you may pray now more than ever." We must be alert and pray. Like the five wise virgins, we must fill our lamps with oil, meaning the fervent prayer and the spirit filled life. Let us all, like the wise virgins, gather nightly in the sanctuary, crying out in a prayer to be filled with the oil and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Luke chapter 21:34 says, "Be careful, or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that they will close on you suddenly like the trap." We must not let life's worries dull our hearts. The enemy seeks to burden us with survival and worldly busyness to hinder us from the preparing oil in last days. We must entrust all the worries of our life fully to the Father and live not with the work of our family as our property, but with the temples as our center. A temple-centered life, meaning the place, the Wednesday service, a Friday and all-night service, a Sunday worship, and the Daniel prayer meeting as the absolute top priority. Even now, believers in the Islamic nations and the North Korea gather secretly in underground churches and risking their lives to worship the longing to earnestly for the Lord's return. Among the fivefold gospel of our denominations is the faith of the Lord's return. As we stand at the very last second of the end of time, this faith is more urgent than ever. It's no coincidence that last month, a Friday night service message was about the Noah's Ark. As Matthew chapter 24:30 says, the ark spiritually represents God's word. We must examine ourselves. Am I inside the ark? Am I living according to God's word? Therefore, may all members prepare your spiritual oil well and boldly confess that all the time, come, Lord Jesus. I prayed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hallelujah. Our Almighty Father, God of love, please lay your hands on all the members who are receiving this prayer now. May you work in ways that transcend space and time for your children all over the world. I ask you to give them faith by which they can believe from the heart, drive away their negative thoughts and doubts, and make all their tests and tribulations go away. Scorch them from head to toe, all of their organs, intestines, bones, nerves, tissues, and cells with the fire of the Holy Spirit, and work with the original light. I command in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy devil, all diseases, germs, and weaknesses go away. May the light come upon them. Please cleanse them of all terminal and incurable diseases by scorching them with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive away all endemic diseases, including malaria, all contagious and infectious diseases and related symptoms such as cold, coughing, fever, and flu. Go away. May you protect them from all diseases. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, including monastic cancers, AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high low blood pressures, heart disease, pulmonary or gastric disease, diabetes, women's disease, dermatitis, thyroid problems, and all kinds of inflammations. I ask you to perfectly heal them of polio, stroke, arthritis, and herniated discs. Make all kinds of pain go away, including backache, headache, and neuralgia. All mental diseases like epilepsy, autism, depression, manic depression, panic disorder, neurosis, dementia, go away. All kinds of paralysis go away. May they stand up, walk, and leap. Please make them see better or hear better. May the blind begin to see, the deaf to hear, and the mute to speak. Father, perfectly heal them of the after effects of all kinds of accidents and make their broken bones knit back together. Make their skins fully recover from burns. All burning sensations and heat go away. Father, please keep them from having any scar. Cleanse them of addiction to all kinds of drugs and poisoning. Make their dead nerves and cells regenerate. Make the dead revive. Father, may you bless infertile couples with a child. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all evil spirits, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, and their servants, go away. All evil spirits, dirty spirits, deceitful and crafty spirits, and separating and deceiving spirits, all darkness, go away. Darkness be driven away, and all the bonds of wickedness be loosed. May the light come. Father God, please give us strength to cry out in prayer and empower us to cast off sins and become sanctified. Make everything go well with them as their soul prospers and help them evangelize their families as well. All through the week, may you protect us from all accidents and disasters and bless us to lead a prosperous life where nothing goes wrong. Please protect all your children, their families, workplaces, and businesses with the fiery walls of the Holy Spirit, heavenly hosts and angels, and your blazing eyes. Give our students wisdom and understanding, and let them have more fervor and passion to study hard. Protect their hearts and minds from being taken away by the world. Bless our students to love you more fervently. Please bless your children to lead a life where they do everything to your glory, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Bless them to always confess with their lips, "I've met and experienced God, I've received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. May you be glorified alone. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.